Hey guys, my name is Angie Marie and you are listening to Bossé Talk. Welcome.
Hello.
To the podcast. Who do we have today?
My name's Austin. Thanks for having me here.
Great to have you.
Yeah.
Just for a little background story.
Yeah.
We did record.
We did record this.
And then what happened?
We only recorded 30 minutes of it.
And yeah, then, so we were just talking for fun yesterday.
Yeah, it all went down the crapper and here we are.
So now you guys are going to get a more refined version of what we talked about yesterday.
Yep.
But welcome. I know we've done a podcast together before, yep. So this is our second podcast together. So for those of you who don't know who Austin is, I'm going to have Austin just kind of tell us who you are and why they should listen to you.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I'm here because I'd like to think I'm a health and fitness expert. I've been in the industry for over 6 years now.
Dang.
Which I know is not very long compared to some people.
Like me?
Yeah. How long have you been in it for?
Officially probably 11 years.
11 years.
Okay. Which we don't need to talk about what age that makes me.
For sure.
Because we talked about that yesterday.
You got the wisdom.
I got the years. I got the mileage.
The mileage. Nice. A well warning car.
Yeah.
We can cut that out.
Yeah.
So I grew up small town on a farm. And that was kind of my upbringing of, you know, baling hay, having horses and chickens.
Hey, I feel like we talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny because that's the same way I grew up, which people don't believe. You know, city girl. They think I'm a city girl, but I'm actually a country farm girl. Yeah. Okay.
Baling hay.
Baling hay. We had horses. We had goats. We had to drink goat milk, which is disgusting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So whenever people have like goat cheese, like, oh, it's so good. It literally makes me think of goats that we had on our farm and they are disgusting. Goats are evil.
And they eat everything.
But mainly they're really fucking strong and they are evil. I know people are like, oh, they're so cute. They're not. If you ever have goats as pets, they are evil. Anyways, right. Continue. So you're from a farm.
From a farm. You know, I guess I feel like when you grow up on a farm, you just like learn a lot of just like
work ethic
and manual labor and just like putting your head down and doing stuff.
Right.
Which,
getting up early as fuck to do things. Yeah.
Which for sure has lent into me running my own fitness company and the skills I've needed to kind of progress that.
Yeah.
So from there, I went to college and then dropout, because it was not for me.
Right.
I could not do it.
I'm a big person against college.
Against college?
I'm against college.
Okay.
I'm against college, not like completely. I think people should really know what the fuck they want to do and then go to school. And I think 18, 19 year olds don't really know who they are yet. So when you go to school for something, you probably will change. Cause like what I went to college for, I don't even do now. I found my passion as I got older, but I feel like most people should take time. Like, what is it? The gap year that they talk about?
The gap year,
we don't really do that here as much as in the European areas, but like, I don't hate college. I'm not against it. But I feel like it's like that pressure society puts on you. Like, you need to go to school. You got to go get an education. But half the time people are just there dicking off, getting drunk because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Just partying.
Yeah, just partying.
What's your degree in?
Marketing.
And
communication. I used it.
Yeah, you used it.
Yes, but I mean, when I look back at what I learned,
sure,
none of that shit matters. Marketing changes.
Yeah.
Marketing that I learned back in the day, which we don't need to talk about when that was, but when I graduated, all those things and those skill sets I learned, yes, they were helpful, but like the world has changed. Everything's social media now.
For sure.
There was barely any talk about social media back then. So
yeah, and the avenues of learning have expanded.
Right,
too.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, so dropped out of college and then kind of didn't know what to do. And so I ended up living abroad. And what happened was my dad told me about this internship with this nonprofit in Cairo, Egypt, of all places. And I'd never been there. And I said, why not? And it was pretty crazy because the application process, they say it would take 6 to 8 months to know if you got, like, once you applied, whether or not you got into the internship. So I was just like, okay, great. I'll have a year off where I can kind of like figure out what I want to do.
Who you are.
Do this.
Yeah.
So I turned in my application and a week later I got accepted.
Damn.
So that was super crazy. And that kind of like ramped everything up. And suddenly I was living in Egypt for about half a year and it was a great experience. And that kind of launched me into coming back to the States, moving to the city. And the kind of the big thing for me was, especially around health and fitness, like I was always into, like I played basketball, I played football, got really into CrossFit before like leaving the country.
Oh, you're a CrossFitter?
I was a hardcore CrossFitter.
I got nothing against them, but I tried CrossFitting and I was the worst. So I gave up.
Olympic lifting.
I can't snatch to save my fucking life.
None of us can snatch to save our life. So it just means that you're like all of us.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
I'm like everybody else. Which is not normal.
So CrossFit was super fun because it was competitive.
Yeah.
But as a lot of people know, the longevity is very tough there because it is such a, it's a very demanding sport on your body. And so when I went to Egypt, I was like, I'm going to keep doing CrossFit. But then I ended up meeting these two guys and they became my best friends. One of them, his name was Kahaba. And then the other one was Haydad.
Kahaba.
It means electricity in Arabic.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm butchering it too.
Probably.
But so he was a semi-pro soccer player, and then Tatum was a bodybuilder, and kind of just really hit it off with them and spent a lot of time in the gym training with them. And it really just showed me like, wow, like I like fitness just beyond it being like a recreational. I do it 3 days a week in the gym.
Right.
And it really showed me, I'm like, I think this is what I want to do with my life.
So your starting point was experiencing that side of fitness and getting really into it. Mine was not.
What was your journey?
Mine was, I feel like my journey is like most people.
Sure.
Where you get to a point where you're just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't live my life like this anymore. I avoided the mirror, believe it or not, because now any mirror I see. There's a saying that that Mackenzie says, there's not a mirror she's seen that, what, I don't remember, something where.
Like hasn't seen you.
No, there's not a mirror she's seen that she hasn't liked or something like that, which is true. But that wasn't always the case. Like, I do love myself now. I love my body now. But back then, I just hated seeing myself in the mirror. And so my starting point was most people where it was like, I just want to look good. And then from there, it obviously evolved into wanting to feel good, wanting to have energy, wanting to be strong, wanting to be a bodybuilder, all that shit. But yeah, I feel like that's most people's starting points is like just they had that moment of fuck it, I can't do this.
But when did it turn into like a career for you from just being like, oh, I want to train and look good to like, oh, I actually really love
because
this.
It changed my life. Okay. Like once, like I've talked about this, which we're not going to talk about me that much, but I've talked about this before where this was back before social media was what it is now, where you could find coaches. It was Beachbody. It was fucking, what is the other one? Herbalife, which I, by the way, did Herbalife.
Wow.
I did. But it was my boyfriend who got me into it at the time. But anyways,
pyramid scheme.
There was not a lot of information out there to like, I couldn't hire a coach because it wasn't like how it's so easily accessible now. And so I went into it with a fucking just the drive to just change my life and be like, I'm going to figure out what to do. Googled things, tried to figure out what was healthy. And that was kind of my starting point to getting into fitness. Wow, it's really hot in here.
It's warm. I'm doing okay.
Are you? I'm literally sweating and I never sweat.
Okay.
But anyways, so I just kind of taught myself how to eat and how to train. And then once I started to like live that lifestyle and understand it and see my body change and my energy change and just like my friends change too, which I'm sure you experienced that. Like I stopped drinking. So people stopped inviting me and I was like, damn, I don't have any friends anymore. So like, if for real. So then I was like, okay, let me go places where there's people that are also doing this. Who else is working out and eating right and doing all those things? And so what led me to coaching people, why I really loved it so much was because I was like, I want everyone else to feel how good I feel. I want everyone else to know that they can do it and that they're capable of this. And it's really not that hard. But like, if you just have the right tools, you can do it.
Yeah, that's cool.
You don't have to Google search things anymore. You can actually hire a coach or hire somebody to help you. But like, I really do believe that if someone really wants to make that change when they get to that point, it's now so simple. Like, you have all the coaches at your hand.
There's a lot of opportunity.
There's a lot of experts.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. So you're an online trainer. You're also an in-person trainer, but you're focused more on online now, right?
Primarily online.
Which is what I've been doing for, I think Ocon's 7 years old now. But since we're coming up on the New Year's, what would you say? I'm trying to remember all the things that I talked about with you.
Just let it, it's new, it's fresh.
It's, we're like, I'm not trying to replicate our podcast yesterday, but so for someone who's just getting started, wow, I am really sweating though. Like, it is really hot in here. It's 80 degrees.
Do you need to go turn the AC on?
I mean, we could open a window, but that'd be loud.
Yeah.
Anyways, just so you guys know, if I look like I'm sweating, I am. But for people who are in that position, like obviously we're coaches, we're trainees, we know what to do to reach our goals. We know how to help other people. But for somebody who's just kind of getting started or has fallen off, what would you say your bit of advice for somebody to kind of get their foot back in the door?
For sure. I think the most effective thing you could do is hire a coach. Get an expert to help you out.
So one of us.
One of us.
What is your company called, by the way?
AG Fitness.
AG Fitness? Yeah. What does that
Austin
stand
Gilhar
for?
Austin Gilhar
Fitness. Oh, okay.
Literally first, last name,
fitness. I mean, my last name is Ocon.
Yeah.
And that's my business.
Ocon's cooler than Gilhar, though.
It is because it's not as common of a name here.
Yeah.
But if I was in Africa, that's a very common name.
Okay.
Ocon.
Gotcha.
That's how you're supposed
to. I mean, how many Gilhars do you know?
I don't actually, I didn't even know how to say Gilhar.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know anything.
I'm unique, okay?
Yeah, of course you are.
Anyways, AG Fitness.
So getting a coach.
So get a coach.
And we talked a little bit about this.
Yeah.
You don't just want to, like, as I did say, there's a lot of access to coaches, but not you get all, what you pay for.
Not all coaches are created equal.
Oh, we didn't touch this. There are a lot of people who you'll see do a show. This is probably my biggest pet peeve. Uh-huh. Someone competes one time and suddenly they're coaching people.
They're training.
And it bothers me because not because I love the passion. I want people to, if you really love to help other people, I love to see that.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the experience, you should not be helping people lose weight if you don't really know what you're doing.
Yeah. You should go get educated. You should get certifications. You should do mentorships. You should work with other fitness professionals.
Which you've done, right?
It. Yeah. Yeah.
So you've had, so if you were someone who wanted to get into that, what would you recommend people do?
Start with a cert and you can do like NASM, and that's kind of like your foot in the door where you'll learn super basic
stuff. The foundation.
Stuff. Yeah. And then honestly, the biggest knowledge that I've gained is doing mentorship programs underneath like actual PhD professors who... They're everywhere now. Like literally, like I did one underneath Dr. Pat Davidson, and it was like a 3-month mentorship program where it's literally like college level education, lectures, homework, and you learn so much. And it's exponentially cheaper than going to a university.
Right. I mean, and that's back to what I was saying. I'm not against college, but I think when you really know what you want to do and you really figure out what your passions are, there are so many ways you can do it without necessarily having to spend, I don't know, $50,000 on an education that you're now spending the rest of your life paying back. There's ways to kind of get around that and to get the, you know, the education that you want.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes, so like when someone's in that process of like looking for a coach, I'm like, they should have a track record.
Yeah.
They should have success stories. They themselves should be a success story in whatever field that they're in. And they should also have some type of education background, and it doesn't have to be traditional college education. It can be certifications, online courses, mentorships, but they should have experience.
It's like when you buy anything online, you look at the, I mean, some people don't do this, but I look at the reviews. I check all the reviews.
Yep.
So if there's not any reviews or any people that have said anything about it, they might not really, I mean, there's people starting off, you know,
so
like, I'm not saying that if you're new, you don't know what you're talking about necessarily, but for the most part, if you're really wanting to get fitness under control, it's good to find a educated, experienced coach or trainer.
I also think that if you're a personal trainer and you've never done, or if you want to get into personal training and you just want to do online, I think you should have to do in-person coaching before you go completely to online.
Why is that?
The amount of hands-on experience you get from in-person coaching allows you to actually build programs specific to individuals.
Do you know that I did online coaching
before?
Only? I never did in-person.
You do in-person now?
I do now.
Okay.
And I started doing in-person training literally because, okay, when you're single and you do online training, you have very little, like I have no coworkers. I mean, I have Cora, but like...
Yeah.
I have no coworkers. I don't see my clients in person. So there was a point where I was like, I literally will go weeks without seeing people other than going to the gym to train myself.
Yeah.
So I started to be like, let me do, like I do my boot camps, obviously, but I like to do in person now because it gives me that
human interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand what you're saying,
sure,
but I also think you could also go the route where you do online because I did it.
You can. I think it's a little trickier though.
Why though?
In my opinion, I think hands-on is always the best way to learn. So it's like it's one thing if you've been super involved in fitness.
Yeah.
But if it's another thing, I don't know. That's just my, it's fair. In my opinion.
Your opinion is valid.
And not everyone has to agree with me. No. It's okay.
I went the opposite route. Yeah. I didn't ever want to do in-person training. Really didn't. And now I'm back to being like, okay, I think I want to go back to online. Because it is really nice. The thing about working for yourself is you have that freedom to just make your own schedule. Mm-hmm. But when you do in-person training, you really don't have the freedom to spend your days how you want as much. Because you have you have a schedule that you have to stick to. And not that you don't when you work for yourself online. But anyways, okay, so moving on.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on the new year. Yeah. So we're getting that new year, new me cycle coming through. Mm-hmm. And the fun part about the holiday season is the YOLO, like just, it's the holidays, like there's cookies, there's celebrations, there's all these things going on. I'll start in the new year.
Yep.
So how do you feel like people should actually handle this time of the year? Like,
for sure.
How could they start the new year, I guess, early?
Yeah. I mean, the best time to start anything is now. Immediately now. Now, like not tomorrow. Today.
But how do we break that pattern? Because it isn't really just, I feel like it's a societal thing, you know, like we all have, I mean, I even still try to have to break that where it's like, okay, yeah, it's the holidays and there's stuff around, but that doesn't mean I have to just eat everything.
For sure. And what it really comes down for me is just like, if someone has like goals and if you're someone, you're like, oh, I really want to get into shape and I want to figure out how to do it. And I want to learn the skills necessary to like turn my life around or whatever, start on this journey. It's like, do it when it's going to be difficult, because at the end of the day, like everyone expects that, this is my thing. In the new year, everyone's like, oh, January is going to be so slow. Like nothing's going on. Like everyone's going to be hibernating because it's cold. If you live somewhere cold, and they're like, I'll have so much time to start this journey. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it's January and you realize that you don't have so much time. And I'm like, you never have so much time because we all have jobs.
Right. And there's never really a perfect time for anything.
And so that's why I'm just like, you just start now and start learning the skills and learn how to like the clients I work with, I don't care if they go to holiday parties and they eat Christmas cookies and cheesecake. Like,
because it's not about that one party.
Yeah.
Right. It's about how you live your life. I think that my go-to for myself, I think there's 80-20 that people follow.
Yep.
I'm kind of 95-5.
Okay.
But that's because I also really like how I eat. I love my diet. I love my routine. I love my structure. Mm-hmm. But I'd say for the majority of people, if you're already eating 80-20, 90-10, whatever that structure is that you have for yourself, one or two meals off plan a week or more isn't going to really do that much damage to you.
Yep.
It's the people who from basically Halloween all the way until the new year are like, fuck it.
Yeah.
The fuck it mindset.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
We did.
The fuck it mindset is very dangerous because we do it with everything. Like I used to do this a lot with like, not even with the holidays. I'm talking in general. That mindset where if you eat something like an Oreo, like I'll have a couple Oreos and then I'm like, fuck it. And I eat the whole thing of Oreos. And then I'm like, well, I already did that. So fuck it. I might as well go eat more. And then that mindset goes into the next day and the next day. And then before you know it, snowballs into weeks and months. And like, that's a dangerous place to be. And I think people get the fuck it mindset during the holidays.
Yep. Yeah.
Ooh, cops. They're coming for you.
They're coming. Yeah. And I think that mindset, like really for me, I'm always like, if you have a bad day or a bad meal, it's like, just get back on the train the next day.
Right.
Like, who cares?
But that's part of the process. I think that people have to start to recognize is that for me, I used to be like, oh, I fucked up today, but I've progressed because I used to let this one bad moment turn into a bad week. And so if you can look at it like that, like, okay, maybe you had one bad week versus an entire bad month. That's still progress.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
But learning how to slowly reel that back where it's like, okay, I used to let this go for months. Now it's only been 1 month. Or I used to let this go for weeks and now it's only been 1 week.
Yep.
So it is really about just progressively getting better at picking yourself back up, stopping yourself and being like, okay, I'm not going to let this continue. I'm going to stop it now before it can turn into a disaster. Yeah.
And even giving yourself like the grace to like not beat yourself up.
Right.
We'll touch on this again. But positive reinforcement over negative reinforcement, where if you start this spiral of like, oh, I ate the whole thing of Oreos and all the cheesecake, like I'm a piece of crap. Like,
I literally I've had that thought process. And the next day where I'm like, God, I'm such a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
And which is disgusting to say to yourself.
Yeah,
but
it's awful.
But then you really do have to reprogram your brain to be like, meh, whatever. Yep. I ate something, big deal. But that takes a lot of like unlearning, rewiring your brain. Because I still have to stop myself. It's like the moment you have that thought, you have to stop and be like, no.
Yeah.
Like, this is not that big of a deal. Like, just get back on track.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing is people will have those moments. And then what do? They punish themselves.
They punish themselves.
They starve themselves for the day, yeah, or they go work out and do a bunch of cardio. Yeah. I know a lot of people will restrict. That's usually the go-to thing. Like, I just won't eat anything.
Like, I'm going to skip breakfast and lunch and I'm only going to eat dinner.
Yeah. And then you set yourself up for more binging because then you're hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done it.
The best plan is to continue to follow the plan.
Yeah.
Even if you go off track.
Get back on track.
Get back on track. And the holidays is a perfect example of that. And also, I tell everyone I work with, it's really rare that you have like an event or a party that's not in your calendar. And right. So it's like when the holidays come around, it's like you know you're going to grandma's and you're going to eat Christmas cookies.
So plan
for it.
Right.
You know?
And like, that's the thing. We as human beings complicate everything, and it is actually very simple.
Yes.
You don't have to freak out about things if you are, you know, 90% of the time, we'll use that, eating really well and exercising. That little 10% that you're off from you know, events or family dinners or date night or whatever, friends night out, that little 10% isn't going to completely throw you off as long as you're still sticking to things 90% of the time.
Yep.
Like an A is still an A.
Yeah. I mean, even like I tell people, and you already said 80-20, like, yo, if you eat 28 meals a week, that's breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack, and we're doing the 80%, 20% rule, there's four meals that you can kind of do whatever you want and you can still be healthy.
And we're talking about the average person, obviously, here. We're not talking about, we're both obviously bodybuilders. Look at us. We're both bodybuilders. So it's completely different when you're in the bodybuilding world as far as like if you're in a prep or something like that.
For sure.
But if you're just like, I want to be healthy, I want to feel good. Mm-hmm. This is really, it's very simple.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, eat healthy most of the time.
Yep.
Work out. I can hear every noise.
Every now and then.
Work out. But this is the other thing. Let's talk about this really quick.
Yeah.
The idea that people have, this burnout idea, which we'll talk about with going into the new year. Actually, let me just bring it up right away.
Yeah.
That whole idea of like, all right, I'm going to go hard. And we talked about the hard 75.
Yep. 75 and like, hard.
75 hard. Yep. Same thing.
Yep.
People are like, all right, I'm going to do this hard thing. And for me and you, hard 75, I've looked at it. Like
75 hard.
Okay. Can I just say how I want to say it?
Let's just say it right. Okay.
Let's just say it how I want to.
Okay.
But like people are so excited about it. I'm hyped about it. If someone really can genuinely, like if it helps them, I love that. Like you like it, I love it. But the problem with things like 75 hard.
There you go.
Okay. Is that it's literally 0 to 100.
Yes.
It's so much stuff that if you weren't already doing these things before, now you've overwhelmed yourself.
Yep.
Now you've created this programming for yourself that is so overwhelming that what are you going to do?
Yep.
You're going to do 30 days or less and quit.
Yep. Start simple.
Start simple. Make it easy for yourself.
Make it easy.
You don't have to work out 6 days a week. You don't have to eat perfectly all the time.
Nope.
If you just make those small changes, like I always tell people, it's little by little. Start small. You don't have to build, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, exactly. The consistency. I always say on a long enough timeline of good decisions, you're going to end up winning.
Right.
You know, but you just have to give yourself that timeline and you have to set realistic goals. Like 75 hard for most people most of the time is not realistic.
No.
Because are you really going to go from not working out to working out twice a day?
Exactly.
You
know, it's twice like, a day.
It's two workouts
I wouldn't
a day.
Even do that shit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's crazy where it's like, you can lift 2 or 3 times a week and get 8 to 10,000 steps in a day, and you are going to be exceptionally healthy if you tie that with a diet.
I think the 75 hard is good for people who are like, okay, I already do all this stuff. I need a greater challenge.
Yep.
But I think when since we're talking about just getting back into things with a new year, all that stuff, like it really is about making it as simple as you possibly can for yourself. And also like taking it one step at a time and not overwhelming yourself.
And going back to that positive reinforcement, when you can look at your wins and you can celebrate the good things that the good things that you're doing and that you've done, like that's going to be, it's going to feel much more rewarding to continue to do those things.
Right.
Versus being like, oh, I set this, I'm trying to do whatever, the whole 30 or a paleo or 75 hard. And then you fail at that.
Then you feel
and then
negative
all you,
about it.
All you can think about is, oh, I failed. I'm not good enough.
Right.
I suck. Versus being like, hey, I set a goal where I'm gonna walk, 7,000 steps a day. And then I hit that for a week and I can really celebrate that.
You know, and it's a funny thing. The more you show up for yourself and you accomplish the goals you set, the more confidence you build in yourself. So like when you do set realistic goals and you achieve them, it does give you that confidence in yourself. Like I can do this.
Yes.
Like, I'm capable. Like, look at what I just did. And like you said, once you, this is my biggest thing that I remind people of, mastering one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. When you have five things you're trying to master, you're not going to be able to, because you can't focus on one thing or the other. So if you can, let's say you start, let's master your food first.
Yep.
Master that. Once you're good at that, you've got that down. Cool. Now let's work on the next thing.
Yep.
Master your gym schedule. Great. Now you're there. Master your sleep schedule. Like, mm-hmm. it's one step at a time that gets you to the point where it's like, oh shit, I've mastered all five of these things.
Yep.
And now I'm just like this, it's this well-oiled machine.
Yep.
That just works really well.
100%.
How you doing?
Great.
You're not warm?
I'm feeling good.
I'm actually, my armpits are open, so I'm cooling down. Okay. So again, we're kind of basing this whole episode on maybe New Year's-ish type of things. Cause it's coming up, cause we're in December already, almost
2024.
Isn't that wild?
Yep.
That's so crazy, actually.
Yeah.
I used to do the math. This is unrelated to everything, but my brother's 7 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. So I used to always do the math to see how old I'd be and how young he would be. And now I'm at the last year that I did it was this. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, I'm going to be old then. And here we are. Anyways, so since we're on this theme of like New Year's and just being successful and mindset and all those things,
yeah.
When it comes to success, what would you say is the number one trait or behavior somebody can have that actually will help them be successful? And it can be everything, not just fitness, but just in general.
Perseverance.
Okay.
I think is the number one thing that makes a person successful in anything. Like, your ability to keep going when things get difficult, when things aren't optimal, when things aren't easy.
Peaks and valleys.
Yeah. And again, on a long enough timeline of good decisions, of continuing to like put your best foot forward, it's like you are going to achieve what you're working towards.
Right.
You just got to give yourself the time, and you have to have perseverance to get there.
Right. And like, we failed yesterday. You know,
we failed so
we hard. Failed yesterday, but here we are again.
Yeah.
We're going to fail our way to success. And that's the main thing that I think a lot of business entrepreneurs, people with trying to get into fitness, whatever it is that you're trying to do, it's learning how to take those failures as your lessons and knowing that, like, no matter what, as long as you're trying.
Yeah.
You know, you might not have the best equipment.
But you figure but it
you're
out.
Here. You figure you know, it out. Like, you're still showing up, you're still doing it. And the whole point of anything you're trying to do is learning along the way and getting better. Because if you never start, how can you learn? How can you grow? How can you evolve?
And I feel like so many people, one, they don't start because they're scared to fail.
Right.
Or it's gonna be too difficult.
Or they're waiting for the perfect time.
Or they're waiting for the perfect
time. Which
is
never the perfect time.
And so at the end of the day, I'm like, the people who achieve the most in life, most of the time, are the people who can persevere through every season.
Right.
You know?
They just keep going.
They keep going. Doesn't
matter.
And
I think one of the questions people do ask, though, is like, how, though? How do you keep going when you're failing or when you're losing or when it feels like you're just spinning your wheels? That's a great, great way to put it. You just feel like you're spinning your wheels. And it's just, no matter what you do, you just cannot get to your goal. You can't reach your goal.
Yeah.
So what would you say for people like that? Just continue to keep going.
I mean, I think having a relationship and having people around you who can help you is huge. Like, if you're just trying to persevere by yourself, like, that freaking sucks.
What's the saying? Alone you can go fast, together you can go far. Kind of one of my models.
And it is super true. And I think at the end of the day, it's like, we all want to go far because that's how you build something. You know, anything you build really fast is going to fall down really fast.
Right.
And so it's like, if you can do things in relationship and have people around you, or even just like invest in yourself. Like, it's so crazy to me, like, what people will spend money on, but they won't spend money on themselves.
Right.
Whether that's a business coach, a therapist, a fitness coach, but it's just like, if you feel
stuck.
You
said a fitness coach twice. Are you trying to
put
that out?
I said a business coach.
I was like, damn, he's really pushing that fitness
business,
coach out there.
Business coach.
By the way, did you know where Coach is?
Yeah. holy smokes.
It's hot.
But like, literally, like, invest in yourself.
Right.
If you feel like you're stuck and you are persevering and you're like, dang, like, I've been working really hard, but like, I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling whatever. It's like, then it's time to go get help. And it's time to reach out to your community or go find community.
Yep. And that's a big thing that I try to remind people of, is that everything you do is an investment. Mm-hmm. Whether you're investing it in something that's not going to, you know, it's bullshit, or you're investing in yourself. I feel like the greatest investment that you can make is in you. Because when you're great and you're on your shit and you're feeling good, you make an impact in the world. Mm-hmm. Like so many people want to change the world. And it's like I used to always read this where they're like, it starts with you. I'd be like, what does that even mean? Now at my big age, I'm like, oh, I understand what it means. Mm-hmm. When you are this person or this being that is like at a different level in life and you're just like thriving, mm-hmm. you make a difference in the world around you. And therefore you're changing the world because you're changing other people's lives. Yep. So yeah, investing in yourself is extremely powerful and more people should do it. And I especially believe that for fitness. And mm-hmm. I'm not doing that to like plug us again, but like truly it is like if everything's interconnected mm-hmm. and if you're feeling depressed or you're feeling like you're lacking motivation with your career or, you know, whatever it may be, if you look at your daily habits and you're not exercising and eating well and doing all those things, mm-hmm. if the first thing I think people should do instead of going to the, you should go to the doctor. But if you're feeling depressed, the first thing you should evaluate is what are you doing every day? Mm-hmm. How are you spending your time? What are you watching even? Like, yeah. I never really thought about it, but like even you're consuming food, right? But you're also consuming media. Mm-hmm. So what are you looking at? And like, when you reflect on how you're living your life, a lot of the time it comes down to, am I investing good things into myself? Am I putting good things into my body? Mm-hmm. And when you reflect on those things, you realize, okay, maybe I'm not investing enough in me as I should be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
everything is interconnected.
Like, I mean, people say like America is so much more anxious than it was even like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so much of that has to do just with the constant consumption of information, you know? And like,
I am a consumer of media. I hate to admit it, I am.
But like, how powerful it is to disconnect. And like,
right.
have some self time
yeah.
that isn't you Definitely. Consuming other things.
Like not Netflix, you know, not binging Netflix every single night while you eat your dinner.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. I mean, I've had those moments too where I'm like, what? Even the music I'm listening to, mm-hmm. like I've been, if I'm, you know how I'm feeling by what I'm listening to. So a lot of time I'm like, okay, is the music adding fuel to my negativity right now?
Sure.
So that's why I listen to Christmas music.
Yeah, I walked in here and she had
like Christmas trap music.
Christmas trap music.
I fucking love it. It makes you dance. It's a holiday season, gives you the vibes.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah, I mean, what you investing in yourself is important. What you mm-hmm. consume is important and making sure that you're mindful of what you're doing day in and day mm-hmm. out. So, okay. So my next question for you is about the ability to be successful when it comes to fitness. So let's talk mm-hmm. about what do you think as a coach mm-hmm. is like the biggest thing to have a client do for themselves, specifically maybe talking about self-awareness. What was the word you used?
I don't remember.
You said Dr. Jocko or something?
Oh, extreme ownership.
Ah, Dr. that's Jocko. The word.
No, it's Jocko Willicks talks about – Jocko Willick? Yeah.
Anyways,
he talks about extreme ownership.
I love that you said that the other day because it's such a good – I love that word because I use self-awareness, but yeah. I like – extreme ownership almost yeah. better. I'm going to start stealing that.
And his concept is, so he was a Navy SEAL and he was like a team leader. And if a mission went crazy or someone wasn't where they were supposed to do or someone wasn't where they were supposed to be and something didn't go right, he wouldn't be like, oh, it's their fault. That's right. why the mission wasn't successful. He'd be like, no, it's my fault as the leader, as the person in charge, and this extreme ownership. And I think as a coach, like I do take extreme ownership over my clients. I want to sure. see them to be successful, but also as someone who is trying to better themselves in their health and fitness, who has a coach, it's like you also have to take extreme ownership over your life and
right.
the decisions you're making.
Exactly. And I said this to you the other day. You can be given all the ingredients mm-hmm. to make a pecan pie because it was November. It's still November because yeah. it was Thanksgiving. That's a great analogy. And even with the ingredients, if you don't actually put the ingredients together and do mm. the work, you're not going to get the end result of the wonderful, delicious pecan pie. So you can have everything you need. You can have mm. the tools, but it's up to us to actually
use them and apply it.
And like you said, I do take ownership for everything. Even as a coach and in life, I do. If something fails, I usually am like, okay, it's still on me to have been successful. So obviously mm. when clients don't do well, but there's also that point where I remind my girls, like, I have guys too, but mostly females, that you need to be self-aware of mm-hmm. yourself. You need to yeah. also recognize like, okay, I've had people come to me, friends just in general being like, oh, I'm not seeing results. My trainer is trash or my coach, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, but hold on a second though. Mm-hmm. Cause if you're given a program, let's just be real. Most programs that I've seen that people have, I'm like, that would work.
Yeah.
Oh, were
yeah.
you following it? Were you actually, and I use my own self as an example. I've had moments where I'm like, man, I'm not seeing any results. and I'm getting frustrated. And it's nice because you have that person to blame. And I think that's what the thing is with a lot of people. It's like, well, it's their fault. But for me, I've had to start being like with my own competitions and things along those lines. I'm like, at the end of the day, my coach can do everything that they can for me to be successful. But if I'm not actually following what they say, there's no one else to blame but me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I think people have to start to be able to do within themselves, be aware of like, okay, how did my actions impact my actual result? What did I do? Or not do?
And I mean, I work with people all the time where it's like, hey, it's been 3 weeks.
Wait a minute. When did you start wearing jewelry?
Always.
I've never noticed that. Anyways, you work with people.
But if I don't hear from you in 3 weeks and you don't turn in a single check-in form and you don't check off your habits and I don't see you complete your workouts, it's like you got to take ownership over that as an individual.
Yeah.
And it's not your coach's fault.
No. And I've had, I've heard a lot of people blame their coaches, and I've always just been like, it's hard for me because I want to be sympathetic, right? Because like, I think you coach the same way. It's kind of like positive and you want to be this uplifting person for them. But there's also the moment where I'm like, dude, come on. Like, I've been eating everything you said. I've been doing everything right. And I'm like, but you haven't. Because like, let's do the math here. Like, that's the thing is like, it's kind of a science when it comes to like macros and food and all those things and expending the calories, all the things add up. So it's like, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to see results. And like, you could have the most basic plan possible. And you, if you're doing it, you're still going to see those changes.
Yeah, so, 100%.
Yeah, it is down to kind of holding yourself accountable. But also it is nice having a coach or someone to hold you accountable to.
And that's like the benefit, but then it really does. It always comes down to self. Like, you are your greatest barrier and you're also your greatest piece of like tool for success. But you have to activate in that. And if you don't activate in that, then you won't be successful. Like, you can't allow, like, let your coach, like, you follow the coach's plan to a T. And if you don't get results, then you can be like, yeah, this coach isn't it. You know?
Right.
100%. But if you're not doing that, if you're like, oh, they said, you know, like, I need to eat 200 grams of carbs, but I think it should be 250, or I'm just not going to track. I'm going to do intuitive eating. Where it's like, well, now you're not following the plan.
So. I've had people do that before where I've been like, man, I've been looking at your stuff and I'm racking my brain trying to figure it out. And they're like, well, I mean, I've been following the macros and I'm just kind of filling it in. And I'm like, wait, what foods? Here's my big thing. I really don't like the whole, what is it? IFFYM.
If it fits your macros.
Because I've had people who are like, well, I had cereal for breakfast and then I had some chicken. Like, I went to McDonald's. I'm like, wait a minute. They're like, well, it's the macros. And I'm like, I know, but the sources of which you're getting your food are still important. They are.
Micronutrients are more important than macronutrients.
But I think that's the thing that culturally, or not culturally, social media has made people think like, oh, I can eat like shit and still see results. It's like, but you should be wanting to put good fuel in your body.
And if you want to build muscle and you want like body composition.
This is a great topic that we should talk about. How do we know? How do we track these things?
Tracking body.
Like, how do people, how does people, how do, speaking a different language now. How do you, like, as a coach, like, we are in a society of weight loss, right? Like, that is it. I care about the scale. If the scale's not moving, I'm not seeing results. I quit. What is the actual way? What is the right way? In Austin's opinion, what is the right way to actually see whether or not you're seeing results with fitness specifically?
I tell my clients, I actually don't care about weight loss. I care about fat loss and body composition. The scale is a helpful tool, but it's not the only tool. And I care so much more about how you're feeling and how you're progressing in your workouts and how your clothes are fitting and also your check-in photos, because there's going to be some days where you're just not going to lose weight, but you're actually still losing fat. And so it's like, all my conversations with anyone I work with is, let's talk about fat loss. Like, sure, we can have a number. Oh, I want to lose 20 pounds. Okay, great. I can work with that. Like, that's an okay goal to have. But I'm not concerned necessarily about just seeing you lose the 20 pounds. I'm more concerned about seeing composition change. Losing fat.
I think that's the big problem that we have with our society is that we have been taught and conditioned to focus on weight. When in reality, I've asked my client this. I'm like, well, let me ask you a question. Do you actually care about weight, or do you care about fat loss? Like, is that really what you want? Because when you ask them that, they're usually like, well, no, actually, I just want to lose this extra fat that I have. I don't like it. And I want to gain muscle. And I'm like, okay, so when you think about it, like building muscle, you're probably going to gain a little bit of weight. That's the point of building muscle. You're gaining some mass. And then at the same time, if you're losing weight, like there's going to be weeks where it's like, hey, you might have, like we talked about this, the rate of which you can lose fat versus muscle, obviously it's not the same, but if you're doing it correctly, you're still going to be gaining muscle, building muscle, which is going to be gaining weight while you might be losing fat. Which is changing your body composition. So when you think about that, and I think that's a problem, people don't understand that. So they'll go weeks and weeks. Like I have clients that are like, well, I haven't lost any weight, so I think I hit a plateau. But I will tell you this, my pant size is two sizes down. I'm like, but wait a minute. So what's the problem here? You're smaller. Your clothes are fitting too loose. You have to buy new clothes. You love how you look in the mirror. You're, you know, sending me videos of yourself, like just feeling yourself, but you're frustrated that the scale's not moving. But why do we care about the scale then? What does it matter anymore?
It doesn't.
It really shouldn't. But I think that's a problem that people kind of have to fix or rewire their brain to think like, okay, I don't actually care about weight as much as I care about what I look like, my strength that I have, and maybe losing some of that body fat.
And like as a coach, it's like I'm looking at so many different metrics where it's like I'm looking at the scale. I'm also looking at your workout performance. I'm looking at the food you're eating. I'm looking at your steps. I'm looking at your, like,
we're watching you.
We're always watching. But all of those things come together for success. And so just because I don't see one of those metrics changing doesn't mean that you yourself are not changing.
I do think it's a thing too, teaching people what a plateau actually is. I actually get frustrated when I have people be like, oh, I think I've hit a plateau. I'm like, bitch, you literally lost a pound this week. What do you mean? Like, it's actually a frustrating thing, and it's not their fault. Again, it's not their fault, because what has social media taught a lot of people? You should be able to have your dream body in 8 weeks.
Instead of 8 years.
8 years. So, and like we talked about the other day, it doesn't. I lost my train of thought.
I would say like.
Wait. I want to finish this. Right, but we talked about the other day. If it didn't take you 8 weeks to gain it or to be in the position you're in, you cannot expect to have the body of your dreams in 8 weeks. And you have, like, the people you see on social media that are like showing their progress, like people always ask me, how long were those two pictures? I'm like, 10 years. And they're whoa. And I'm like, no, this wasn't fast. And I think that's the problem with social media, is people will, or just in general, people think, oh, this didn't take them that long. I can look like Angie in 6 months. I'm like, good fucking luck. Not to be cocky or anything, but this took me years to build. So it's getting that mindset out of your head that you're like, oh, I can do this in 8 to 12 weeks.
I literally just posted on Instagram, like a before me when I was like 18. Then a recent picture, and it's like 45 pounds difference in those two pictures. And I had people come in being like, oh, how long did that take you? Like 2 or 3 years? And I was like, oh, no, it's that was actually 10 years ago.
But see, that's the thing. But that it's not their fault, because we have, and I'm not calling people online liars. I'm not saying influencers are necessarily liars, but there are some on there that portray this image or idea that gets people to buy their programming to be like, oh, I can look like her in 6 months. It's like, no, but that's the other thing. It's difficult to have that patience for a lot of people.
For sure.
It's hard to be like, okay, I have to invest the next 2 to 5 years to actually make this happen. And that brings me into the next thing, is like, it's not easy for people, because it's not just about a meal plan and a diet. It's really about
consistency
and changing your
habits,
lifestyle,
changing your lifestyle.
All those are right. But we talked a little bit about this. We touched on the whole fact that, like, it isn't just this program you're going to follow for 12 weeks. And I know, I think your system is 12 weeks. Like a minimum.
Minimum of 12 weeks.
And so, and that's great, because it gives people that they're able to see it at a shorter scale. But reality is, I hope that people are like, oh, 12 weeks, I'm seeing results. Let me keep going, because I'm actually seeing the change. And that's where the lifestyle change starts to happen, where you're like, I can't just follow a program. I actually have to change my habits and my lifestyle in order for this to be something that, I don't want my arms out like that. For this to actually be something I can maintain forever.
And that's where it's like health and fitness is not a, like, it's not a 30 day, oh, I'm going to do this before I go on vacation. You know,
I mean, it is for some people, but that's the wrong mindset.
And that's the thing. It's like, and that's the rebound where you like lose 10 pounds from vacation and then you gain 20 pounds on vacation.
Exactly.
Because it's not a lifestyle and you haven't built the habits. And like, fitness should not be, for most people, it shouldn't be this over like consuming you're thinking about all the time. Like, I want to help people build the skills where it's, you're not even thinking about it. Like, right. You're learning how to eat intuitively. You're learning how to exercise. You're learning how to get your steps in. And it becomes a part of who you are.
Right. I've told my girls, this is what I hope for everybody. The same way you wake up in the morning, and I hope everybody does this, by the way. The first thing you do is brush your teeth, right?
I hope so.
You don't think about it, though. Yeah. You get up. I mean, maybe you do something else. Maybe go to the bathroom, whatever. But you brush your teeth. You have your things that you do. You're not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You just do it. It's your routine. That's how I want eating healthy and fitness to be. Because I hate the analogy. People are like, oh, I'm on a diet right now. I can't eat that. It's like, no, this is my diet.
Yes.
This is how I eat. I'm not on a diet. So like having this system in place, or this mindset where I eat this way, I do this, this is my daily life. And it's not even something I think about. It's just what I do.
Yeah. And people, like, it's so funny to me when I like actively make different decisions. We go out to eat, everyone's ordering pizza and pasta, and I decide to get, you know, steak and potatoes. Like,
yeah.
You know? And people are like, oh, that sucks, man. They're like, wouldn't you rather be eating this? And I'm like, no. Like, I wouldn't. And it's not because I'm a freak. It's because I feel good. Like, I can eat pizza, which is fine. And occasionally I do eat pizza.
I don't like pizza.
I was literally just talking to two of my clients today. And we were all just like, yeah, pizza's freaking good. But when I eat pizza,
I feel like shit.
I feel terrible.
So that's the thing. People always make fun of me because I'm like, I don't really like pizza. And they're like, why? I'm like, well, actually, I mean, I like it. I like the way it tastes. But I'm such a person now, and I don't know if this is an age thing. You're young, so maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a fitness thing.
Fitness.
Could be age. Because when I was – anyway, it doesn't matter. But I have this thing now where I'm like, how will that make me feel if I eat that?
Yep.
Am I going to feel – like, for example, when I eat sugar, my face is fucking puffy. Mm-hmm. And I'm crabby and I'm moody. I can see the effects. But I think this is the thing. If you're so used to eating it all the time, you don't recognize the impact. It's normal.
Yeah.
So I have clients where I'm like, you can have a refeed. Go have a cheat meal. I don't care. Go do something. I don't like the word cheat meal, but I'm like, go eat something you want.
Yep.
They'll eat it and they'll be like, yo, Angie, I was so fucking sick. I cannot believe that I used to eat that. I'm like, exactly.
Yep.
Your body gets so used to eating these kinds of things that you don't have the reaction that someone like you and I would have. If I ate pizza right now, I would literally be like, cool, I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah. And like literally being like, people walk around feeling terrible and they think it's normal.
Right.
Versus being like, if you feel yourself correctly and you exercise and you drink water and you actually feel good.
Right.
Then you can recognize when you actually feel terrible.
Exactly.
And then you can start doing those things that make you feel good. So then it doesn't become a, oh, I'm not eating the pizza because I want to be good. It turns into, I'm not eating the pizza
because I want to feel good.
Because I want to feel good.
And continue to feel good. Yeah. Exactly. I'm glad that we both feel that same way. But it is also funny. I feel like this is something that maybe you've also experienced. But why is it that when you are healthy, people are like, whoa, like that's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Like you're making a healthy choice. Like that's something that people call out versus why isn't it more normalized when people eat healthy instead and someone eating pizza is like, damn.
Yeah. I always think of drinking. Like I am very specific when I choose to drink alcohol.
I am too. I don't really
and
drink.
So like most of the time I'm like out and everyone's like, oh, what are you getting? And I'm like, oh, just have a water or a diet.
People are shocked.
Yeah.
Shook. Like, wait, you don't want to drink? Now no one asks me anymore because I'm at a point
for
where
sure.
people are just like, Angie doesn't drink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you. Yeah. But in the beginning, people be like, come on, you can just have one. I'm like, one thing is I've been like, what if I was a recovering alcoholic? I'm not.
Sure.
But like you would never try to get someone who's like a recovering alcoholic to drink. So why are you pushing it on me?
Yeah.
But like also, why is that? I think it's like one of those things where it makes people feel better. Like, no, you need to drink because I'm drinking.
Yeah. Well, it's social.
I did it.
It's social.
No, I used to be that person and I can't believe it. I'd be like, come on, have a drink. What's one drink?
Yeah. I understand the social implications around it. But also at the same time, again, I value my health and I value my performance. And when I have a drink and I show up at the gym the next day, I'm like, oh wow, I had a drink last night.
Right. So like I quit drinking for many reasons, but one of the things that I did when I first quit drinking, the reason I really did it, and I didn't really even think about this till just now, I didn't like that I needed alcohol to be able to be social.
Sure.
I felt like, let me get a few drinks in so I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be in a position where I could show up to any party, any room, any place, and just have good energy, talk to anybody, and not feel like I need to drink something or have that liquid courage.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main, like I quit for fitness, and I quit because it made me fucking depressed because alcohol is a depressant.
Yep.
if anyone's feeling depressed and you drink a lot, maybe you might want to cut that out. But the big thing is, like, I think people need alcohol to feel like themselves mm-hmm. or to feel like the person that they want to be. And I was like, I want to be that girl that people love when I'm drunk. Even though y'all have seen me drunk, obviously I'm not usually her because she's very wild, but yeah. I still wanted to be able to have that good energy for people and yeah. be sober.
Yeah.
And I still do it to this day. Like yeah. I want to be able to go places and be like, have conversations with people and not feel like I need to drink alcohol.
Yeah. I like make jokes with my clients where I'm like, sobriety is the new enlightenment, where it used to be like, oh, I need substances to become enlightened.
Yeah.
Versus being like actually the most enlightened.
Be present. Yeah.
Being present and being sober and being sober minded.
That was the other thing too. When I was drunk, I don't even remember the fucking conversations I had with people. Mm-hmm. So now it's kind of funny. I'm sober having conversations with drunk people. They probably have no idea what they say.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. I like having a little bit of like control. That's not like a bomb.
Yeah. It's just the mic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a judgmental person. Like if you drink, fucking do it. I don't give a shit. Like if that makes you happy, keep doing it. Unless you're an alcoholic, then maybe seek some help. But.
Dumpster.
Anyways, ignore the background sound. Yeah. But like if you drink, that's great. But I do think if you're one of those people who is like struggling mentally, mm-hmm. Again, like we talked about food, that has a huge impact on you. So yeah. maybe reflect on your food, your activity, but also maybe do like a sober October. I know we're past that. A dry December. Is that a thing?
I mean, New Year's.
No juice, New Year's. That's yeah. not it. But I do recommend that if there's something you're struggling with and you're like mentally not in a good place, mm-hmm. I do think try quitting drinking and working out and eating better and see yep. what happens. I guarantee it's going to change your life.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so let's talk about the power of mind. Okay. The power of your mindset or the power of thought. Uh-huh. I think we've been talking a lot about New Year's mm-hmm. and like the whole concept of like new year, new me. But how can you really do all those things if your mind is the same?
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of mentioned this already, but I really believe in the power of positive reinforcement mm-hmm. over negative reinforcement and being able to celebrate your wins and looking at like all the things you've accomplished and using those things to kind of continue to project you forward into right. like your goals.
I think one of the things too is like we have most people, I actually learned this recently that not everybody has a dialogue.
An inner dialogue?
I didn't know that because I'm like walking around thinking, you know, yeah. all these things.
Yeah.
Apparently there's people who don't, which kind of sounds peaceful, honestly. But it's more of being like aware of your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people really think about the fact like, okay, what am I thinking in my head? Because mm-hmm. you talk to yourself more than you talk to anybody else.
Oh, for sure.
And if the thoughts in your head and the way you're thinking are negative, mm-hmm. that's kind of what you're going to be putting out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
like being able to have the mindset of like, okay, like for me, when I was in a really dark place in the morning, immediately when I wake up, I'd start having these like horrible thoughts, like mm-hmm. you're a failure, all these things. And so I had to start waking up every morning and doing like meditation and mindset work
positive
and be like
positive
reaffirmation. And I think yeah. the thing is, I don't think people really take a second to think about how mm-hmm. they're thinking.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the start of rewiring your brain
yeah.
to be successful and to be positive is to
yep.
stop yourself when you're like, I'm having a negative thought
yep.
and then be like, okay.
I mean, I'm a huge advocate for like morning meditation or morning prayer.
Yeah.
And like my belief system, like I pray.
Wait, are you religious?
I'm a Christian.
I know.
But like I pray every morning,
yeah.
you know, it's like I get up and I give myself 30 minutes to journal and pray
right.
and spend time with my thoughts. And I'm like, if you're not giving yourself, I mean, it doesn't have to be 30 minutes, but give yourself 10 minutes to meditate. Give yourself 10 minutes just to be with yourself, your thoughts. You know, if you are a spiritual person, pray. But it's like, I think starting your day with that versus like waking up and getting on your phone right away, checking your emails right away. Suddenly it's like you're already flooded with
right.
the information of negativity. You
yeah.
know? Especially if you're in a negative space.
Absolutely. I think it is important, especially, I mean, you don't have to be religious to have those moments where you
yeah.
sit and think or you sit and have these thoughts. Like I talk to myself
oh, yeah.
a lot. And if I'm having a negative moment, I'm like, okay, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel this way?
Yep.
And then I'll work on the things that I can do mentally to keep myself in a positive headspace.
Yeah.
So I think it sets a tone for the day. So
yep.
think about the days where you're rushed and like the moment you wake up, there's all this shit going on. Immediately, you're probably already in a bad mood.
Yep, 100%.
But if you have that little bit of time to kind of have the calm before the storm of life,
mm-hmm.
it kind of puts you in this like level-headed space.
And like reflect on the good things.
Right. Like gratitude changes your attitude.
I mean, for real though.
No, it's true.
Like if you actually think about the good things
right.
versus the negative things.
You want to know what I did this morning?
Tell me.
Oh my God, this actually happened this morning. I wasn't having a negative moment, but I woke up.
I'm sorry, it's gonna be really loud. Oh my goodness.
It is gonna be really loud. Sorry, guys. He's allergic.
Can you grab me some water, Birds? Sorry.
Did you inhale your own?
No, my throat just got really dry.
It's because it's hot in here.
Is the camera working, buddy?
This morning,
yep.
When I got up, I sat with myself because you remember how I dropped my keys down the trash chute?
Yep.
So this morning I was like, you know what? And I was really mad about, I wasn't mad. I don't really get angry. It takes a lot to get me mad, but I was frustrated that I dropped the keys mm-hmm. and it was like $300. But then I thought about it this morning again and I was like, you know what? I'm so grateful I have a house mm-hmm. that I can sleep in warm. It's cold outside. Yeah. I'm so grateful that I have a car.
Yep.
Even if people talk shit about it, I have a car. I'm so grateful I have food in the refrigerator. I have money in the bank account to go buy food if I need it. Mm-hmm. I am blessed. And I had someone who was complaining about their life the other day and I was just like, man, taking that moment to be like, look at all the things I like, not what I don't have, mm-hmm. but look at what I do have. And even like at my age, I remember being 10 years ago, what I have now, mm-hmm. that version of me would have been like, whoa.
Like you're balling out
like,
right now.
Like she's balling. And mm-hmm. like to, and I get that. Like once we're in different levels, we kind of like, we talked about this the other day, like you want more and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But you also should be able to take that moment, be grateful for your present moment. Mm-hmm. You can still work towards a greater future, but like really having that gratitude for your current life is so, it changes everything. Gratitude changes your attitude. Yeah. And if you really are struggling again with something in your life, just take a moment and look at all the good things you have going for you.
For sure. And I keep going back to this, but who you surround yourself really matters.
Right.
Like the people around you, how they support you.
You gonna be okay?
I'm not crying. I'm crying a little bit.
Out of joy for this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Who you're around makes a huge impact. Mm-hmm. It definitely does. Because if you're surrounding yourself with people who have that limited mindset or like have this negative mindset of things, like they just want to blame the world for everything about their lives. They mm-hmm. want to do like, I call them like weekend warriors or people who just are stuck. Mm-hmm. If you stay with people who are stuck, you're probably going
to
also be stuck.
It's hard
but if you're
stuck,
around
yeah.
people who have a growth mindset, who are positive, who want to make changes and want to keep evolving, you're going to do that too. Like, yep. what's the saying? If you hang out with bodybuilders, you're probably going to become a
you're
bodybuilder.
Gonna become a body.
It's true though.
It happened to me, you know.
It's true. If you're hanging out with a certain group of people, you're going to get involved in what they're involved in. Mm-hmm. So if you're hanging out with people who do crimes, who do hood rat shit, criminal shit.
Taking it away.
No, but it's
there.
True.
Yeah.
No, but it's a real point. Like mm-hmm. if you want to become good at something, you should probably surround yourself with people who also are doing those things.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, it's important who you surround yourself with. Absolutely.
Yep. And that plays a huge role in mindset. I think it's like one, having time for yourself, being able to be grateful, practice gratitude, think about the good things, but then surround yourself with people who are also positive and who are trying to elevate you to that next level.
Right.
You know,
even what you listen to too, like even listening to podcasts. I listen to podcasts every day, literally
every day,
every morning. I listen to, well, it's like motivational speech.
Okay.
Speech,
gotcha.
Speeches. What's his name? My favorite guy.
David
oh my God.
Goggins.
No, I don't know who that is.
I know.
I can't think of his name right now, but he's literally one of the best motivational speakers.
Okay. I'm just a nerd. I listen to like science stuff.
That's fine. I get bored with those. Yeah. So I like to listen to things that get my fire lit. So anyways, I want to go back to one more thing about society.
Yeah.
How do you feel like that's damaged people's relationship with health and wellness? And we talked a little bit about this the other night, actually not on the podcast, mm-hmm. like the guy who calls people out for
yeah.
photoshopping.
Yep.
And like, I hate the bullying part of what he
sure.
does, but I understand that it is teaching people that there are consequences for putting bullshit out on the internet, like mm-hmm. selling a booty program and making your glutes bigger.
Yeah.
And I, like I said before, I'm not an angel when it comes to social media. We all have been in this place, I think, where at one point, maybe not you, but I've done stuff to my face in photos.
Yeah.
Those are all deleted at now because I look back at them. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
When I was younger, but like a lot of the stuff he does post too are young kids. And it's mm-hmm. hard for me because I'm like, I know it's a time where there's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
for people to like be perfect. And I know I fell into that now. I don't give a fuck. I post mm-hmm. whatever. But I think it is difficult for people, especially when they're in the fitness world, because they're like comparing themselves to all these other people. And now we're kind of finding out that the people we've been comparing ourselves to for years
aren't even
what they look like.
Yeah, 100%. I was at a bodybuilding show in Houston, and there's this kid there who was a super influencer, big TikToker. And someone was like, oh, this is so-and-so. I'm like, no, it's not. So-and-so is huge.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, that's actually him. And then he got called out by what's his face on Instagram for editing his photos and making himself bigger and more aesthetic.
The sad thing is he didn't really stop. And I think I wish there was a way that it could kind of be like a warning where it's like, hey, if you don't stop doing this, I'm going to call you out on it. But it is also kind of this disappointing thing because I've made it a point, especially the last, 5 years to put out because I don't want people to meet me and be like, oh, you don't look like yourself in person. Yeah. So I've been like, even with like the photo, like face edit type of shit, I'm like, obviously I use a filter on Instagram when I'm like talking. Mm-hmm. Whatever, sue me. But when I put like my reels out there, I don't use any, rarely do I ever use a filter unless it maybe is lighting or something. Yeah. But I feel like I really respect people who want it to be real and raw and not bullshit and fake, because we are also conditioned now to seeing the bullshit and believing that it's real.
Yeah.
And now we're learning, you know, Instagram, even in the fitness world, it's all fucking fake.
It's all fake.
And I think damaged.
It's not all fake. No, it's not. A lot of it is.
It's not. But I think it's damaged people's relationship with health and wellness.
Oh, yeah. And people don't know what a real expectation is and how they can actually look.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me, too, because some of these people, like, this kid looked really good. Like, he looked really good. And so the fact that he felt like he needed to, you know, adjust his photos and Photoshop stuff is so sad.
It is sad. And it's pressures of social media. And again, comparing, like, especially young kids, like, I think it is a comparison thing of like, okay, this person took them 10 years, like a real person posting their real progress took them 10 years. Now, how do I have that same impact on social media where people want it? Like, they like my shit, but it's like, but I don't, you want it now. You don't want to put in the work and do the time for
it. I'm 20 and I've only been lifting for 2 years and I don't look like so-and-so yet.
It's sad that I think people get to that point where they feel like they need to Photoshop their stuff to look a certain way. But I also think, like I said, I don't like the bullying side of what this person does, but I do like that it kind of checks people a little bit. We're like, damn, I really, one, I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And two, I might get called out for it. And I think there should be policing on social media.
To a point. I mean, like,
to a point.
Yeah. And that's where I'm just like setting realistic expectations, especially if you're someone who's a coach and you like want to influence people in health and fitness and wellness. It's like, yo, you better be posting real stuff.
Right.
Because you're doing such a disservice. And it's, I mean, it's honestly, it's gross what it does to people, like women and men who continually have more and more unrealistic expectations of what it should look like to be fit is insane.
I've gone to some of the pages, but off topic, to look at the people that he calls out. I'm like, literally, I look through, I'm like, damn, I wish I had her glutes. And then I'm like, oh. Not all of it, not every single thing they post is Photoshop. But it's like, even myself, like, I worked really hard for my body, and then I look at them, I'm like, Jesus, like, what is she doing? What is she doing differently? And then come to find out it doesn't really matter because she just pulled her butt out.
We're all just working on ourselves.
Right.
And that's the thing at the end of the day. It's like, it is really tough, but it's like, you have to remove yourself from some of the outputs and like not consume so much of what's going on.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah. And it's like, how can I be the best version of myself? Right. And it's like
me versus me.
I'm a victim of that too. Like I'm on social media.
Do you have body dysmorphia?
I do not have body dysmorphia.
Yes, you do.
I have unreal expectations for myself.
Austin will be at the gym and he'll be like, oh, I don't want to use this word because I don't use this word. He'll be like, I look fluffy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, you literally have fucking abs. Yeah. You're ridiculous. But I think body dysmorphia is definitely a bigger thing in the fitness community.
Oh, for sure.
Because I do it where I'm like, damn, I don't look good. And people are like, you're my dream body.
Like, when you think you look really bad day.
You're my dream body. But I think people also, it can go into body dysmorphia as you lose weight. I think people... It's when you see yourself a certain way for so long, it's really difficult to see yourself how you are now. Mm-hmm. So you might still see that. I've had people say, it's like, I still think I'm that. I hate this word. I hate the word fat. Because I don't say I'm this muscle. You're not whatever.
Sure.
But I have had clients be like, I still see this fat girl that was bullied and all these things. And she's like, but it's hard for me to see myself how I am now.
Yeah.
And I think body dysmorphia is something that is also a mental thing you kind of have to learn how to work through.
Yep. 100%. Me, I do not have body dysmorphia.
Maybe a little bit.
I feel like we all have it a little bit.
So one last topic.
Yeah.
Before we end this
yep,
wonderful maybe. Episode.
Yep.
This is a fun one for me. It's okay. my favorite one.
Okay.
Steroids.
Oh, it's your ASMR. Favorite.
It's my least favorite topic.
Yeah.
But you taught me some things the other day when we were trying to talk about it before. But I also think that's a dangerous thing that social media has mm-hmm. made people, specifically men. I know women too, though, in my industry, mm-hmm. our industry, this belief that I have to take steroids to yep. look a certain way, number one. And number two, people taking them, having no fucking idea mm-hmm. what the impact is going to be on their bodies.
Yep.
So you and I are both natural.
Yes.
So what is your stance on, which by the way, I have spent years defending myself that I'm natural. And if, let's be real.
To this
if I took steroids, my legs would be so big.
It might be time.
No, I'm never going to do it at this point. I'm like, if I've gone this long in this industry, not doing it, I'm not sure. going to start now. But there was a reason I didn't do it.
Yeah.
For me, it was, I think I told you this. I watched what happened to these girls that I competed with. Mm-hmm. This was back in the day before you needed as much muscle as you need in IFBB.
Yeah.
So this was in the beginning where bikini was really just about looking muscular, like you're at the beach almost. Yeah. yeah. And so you really did not need to be on steroids yep. in IFBB at that time in 2014-ish. Mm-hmm. You could still have a natural physique and go pro because I did it. But mm-hmm. the girls I competed with did not. Mm-hmm. And one of them specifically, they were telling me they were rattling off all these steroids they were taking. I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. First of all, I didn't even know what they were. I was so fresh to it, mm-hmm. so new to it. And then I watched the months that passed how her body just, as she put it, blew up mm-hmm. because she was gaining so much weight. She wasn't taking all those things. Mm-hmm. Then she had to go to the doctor and I think they had to give her T3 was fucked up. So mm-hmm. she had to take T3 and T4 mm-hmm. and then her hormones were just out of whack. And I was just like, I saw her and mm-hmm. that was probably the greatest lesson for me
yeah.
where I was just like, I'm never going to touch it. I'm healthy. I'm happy. That's the longevity of it. I'm mm-hmm. never going to fuck my body up. Ever
yep.
just for a show.
Yep.
Because after I'm done competing, I don't want to be like,
yeah,
have all these issues.
Yeah. I think for me personally with steroids, it comes down to like knowing what you're getting into
right.
and working with someone who also knows. And like,
right.
I'm by all means, like I'm not an expert in this area.
Neither. I know nothing.
But like, it's becoming more and more common that kids who are 19 are hopping on
right.
here and they don't think there's going to be repercussions or they're like, oh, like it's going to be totally worth it.
Right.
And then suddenly you're like, you're infertile and you're doing a post psychotherapy and you just like still can't figure it out.
Which
like,
is really sad.
It's super sad. And so one, like kind of a general rule I've always heard is that you should have at least 7 years of natural training in your pocket before you think about getting on steroids.
Right.
Because there's a lot of gains you can get naturally and you can build a very impressive physique without needing any type of steroids. And if you're young, you can actually do it fairly quickly, especially if you're new to the gym.
Right.
Like in the first 2 years of lifting, you can get pretty crazy if you're a relatively in shape human already.
Right.
And you're young.
Yeah.
And so it's like, one, it's like, okay, spend some time actually figuring out if you love the sport.
Right.
You know, because the last thing you want to do is get on a whole bunch of gear and then end up not liking bodybuilding or not love hypertrophy training.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like living with those repercussions for years until things can get balanced out.
Yeah.
And so it's like, get your blood work done, like treat it with extreme caution and treat it like a professional. It's like you are taking,
like it's dangerous.
It's medication. It's yeah. medication. And it has helped some people
mm-hmm.
who need it.
Right. There are people who, especially when you get older, I know there's yeah. men that are prescribed things. But
also, there's other avenues too outside of taking testosterone and different things like that, where it's like, and I'm not talking about SARMs, but I'm talking about there's
what
things.
What are SARMs?
They're like androgenic receptors. They're supposed to.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. But there's other things you can do to enhance your. Whatever your performance mm-hmm. or your muscle without having to go directly taking steroids.
Right. And also having a good coach and trainer who can give you the yeah. tools that you need to actually build solid muscle.
Yep.
But really fast,
yeah.
since we're talking about it, neither of us are knocking people who take steroids. Yep. I have a lot of friends in the industry, just friends in general who take stuff. If that's what you want to do, great, but I would not recommend coming to me. I've had people ask me a lot, like,
yeah.
what should I do? And I'm like, don't ask me. Yeah. I don't take it. I know everyone thinks I do, But I was like, I don't take it. And mm-hmm. even if I did, I still don't have the education yeah. and the knowledge to help someone else do something like yeah. that. But I have no issue against people who take it. And we have to be clear about something that he touched on yesterday. Mm-hmm. You can take all the steroids in the world, but it's not going to just make you huge.
No, you have to work incredibly hard. Right. You have to adhere to a diet. And it's honestly more work because there's more things to pay attention to.
Right.
Where it's like, I can just eat food and lift and same. Like get my blood work done every 6 months and I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah. Versus if you're going to be taking PEDs, you're going to be getting your blood work done, you know, every 3 months at a minimum.
Yeah.
And you're also having to regulate a lot more things to make sure that your body's operating properly, which is fine if you want to do
that. Yeah, it's fine. I just get so annoyed when I see people talking shit like, oh, they're on steroids. I'm like, but they still were, even if they were, they still worked really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like I've seen people who are on steroids, no offense.
Yeah.
But they look like shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's like it's not this magic thing that just makes you yep. suddenly look like fucking sebum.
And just be honest. Like, if someone asks you, like, are you on anabolics? Just be honest about
people
it.
People have a hard time in this industry being honest.
Yeah, and I mean, in most industries, people true. Have a hard time being honest.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like plastic surgery. You know that they did it.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, I still, I feel like in person I don't look as big as mm-hmm. I do online. Maybe. Sure. I've been told that before. I think that's true.
I mean, angles help.
Angles do help. But like, I don't feel like I actually look that big to the point where people would be like, you're on stuff.
Yeah. Versus, but
I also have genetically been lucky. Like mm-hmm. One of my brothers specifically is super jacked. I have African genetics. I don't know what the science is, but I'm pretty sure black people
build better muscle.
Build better muscle. There's like it's a whole true. Thing with our muscles.
Yeah.
But like people just want it to be that that's what it is. Not that I worked really fucking hard for the last 12 years. And stay consistent.
And people don't understand that even if you are on steroids, you still have to work really hard.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, it's like, it's not a cop out. Like you can't just be like, oh, they're on steroids. So like,
yeah, never mind. Yeah. It makes people feel better or something. Yeah, like, oh, they're on steroids. Never mind. You don't get the praise than glory. It's like they still work their ass off.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
anyway, so yeah, I mean, I feel like that's our episode. Sick. We wanted to end it with steroids.
I think that's great.
Gear. Juice. But we hope that this episode helped you guys a little bit. We talked, I think we were pretty on track the whole time.
We
kind of stayed with
other than
fitness.
My cough attack.
Yeah, other than Austin almost dying, which would have been good for video. We posted
Wow,
it.
Great for views.
It'd be clickbait.
Very clickbait.
Isn't that a thing? Clickbait?
My podcast interview.
Austin dies on my podcast.
Yeah, dang.
It actually would probably go viral, but I'm glad you didn't die.
Okay.
But thank you, Austin, for coming on and sharing your plethora of knowledge in the fitness world.
Oh, for sure.
I think that this was a helpful episode for anyone who's kind of looking to get started, or even people who are in the fitness world that are just kind of looking for some mindset motivation type of things.
Make it happen.
To listen to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Austin, I think we'll probably put your bio, or not your bio, your, what are they called? Links?
My link.
Your link to his page. If you're interested in being trained or coached, wait, not in person trained, online.
Online coaching.
By him, you know, to have his body. I had a guy be like, oh, I want his legs. So if you want his legs, then you could have him coach you and then spend 7 years to build them.
Spend 7 years, build some great
legs.
There
you go. You got a 7-year client.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
But thank you for coming on. We hope this episode was helpful. If you're looking for New Year programming, we're both doing a challenge, huh?
We're both doing a challenge.
Yeah. You're doing a New Year challenge?
December 11th. I'm doing a
challenge. Mine starts December 11th.
21-day challenge.
Mine's a 14-day challenge. Yeah. Well, we both have challenges coming up. Wait, are you doing a New Year challenge?
No, I'm not
Bro,
doing
Bro, we could collab.
We could.
What do you guys think? Maybe we should do a New Year challenge. You could take the guys. I'll take the girls.
Wow, okay.
Because I don't really train guys that much. Anyways, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And hope you guys have a great holiday season. 'Tis the season.
Peace.
To be jolly. La 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 la.
La 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 la.